When police come to a home with a search warrant and barge in without knocking and waiting as the Constitution requires, the evidence they seize can still be used in a criminal trial. The only exception is if state law prevents it. That's the decision issued today from a sharply divided U.S. Supreme Court. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
Since the founding of the Republic, legal tradition has mandated that police knock and announce themselves in executing a search warrant. 11 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously that the knock and announce rule is required by the Constitution. And 3 years ago, the justices said that police must wait a reasonable period of time, 15 to 20 seconds, before breaking in. But today, a bitterly divided court ruled that if the police violate the rule without a good reason, the traditional penalty of disallowing the seized evidence will not apply. The evidence can come in. The 5-4 ruling seems to signal a new aggressiveness by the court's conservative majority, a majority now buttressed by 2 new Bush appointees. And it illustrates the pivotal role of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who joined the majority but wrote separately to stress that he's not willing to go along, as of now, with a wholesale abandonment of the century-old tradition that bars illegally obtained evidence from being used at trial. Wayne State University Associate Dean David Moran, who represented the defendant in the case, said today's ruling would render the knock-and-announce rule, quote, a joke. That, he said, is a shame in a free society.
The knock-and-announce rule is really about dignity. It's the right of the people in a free society to not have the police terrify them and humiliate them by barging in, destroying the door, finding them naked in a shower on the toilet.
Others agreed that the ruling would make it more likely that police will not knock and announce their presence. Ohio State University professor Joshua Dressler is author of a criminal law text.
The so-called knock and announce rule has no teeth left anymore.
Today's decision came in a routine drug case that began in 1998 when police, armed with a warrant, came to the Michigan home of Robert Hudson. The police later admitted that they'd failed to follow the procedures required by law. They yelled, "Police, search warrant," but did not knock and only waited 3 to 5 seconds before entering an unlocked door. Inside, they found a small amount of cocaine and a gun. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Michigan Supreme Court was right when it allowed the evidence to be used at trial. Writing for the majority, Justice Antonin Scalia noted that the so-called exclusionary rule that excludes illegally obtained evidence has substantial social costs, sometimes setting the guilty free, and in this case, he said, the police had a warrant and would have discovered the evidence even if they'd followed the knock-and-announce procedures required by the Constitution. What's more, said Scalia, if the court were to exclude evidence when the knock-and-announce requirement is violated, it would be a jackpot for bad actors seeking to use minor police misconduct as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Scalia pointed to the court's landmark decision in 1961, requiring all evidence to be excluded if it was illegally seized. And in language that the dissenters clearly took as throwing down the gauntlet, Scalia said, in essence, that was then and this is now. Today, he said, police forces have been professionalized. They're far better trained, supervised, and regulated than they were 45 years ago. Moreover, he noted, citizens whose rights are trampled with no-knock searches can sue for damages. The dissenters, led by Justice Stephen Breyer, replied that the incentive for police professionalism has been the very rule removed in this case that illegally obtained evidence will not be admitted at trial. Other methods have been tried and failed, he said, contending that the only effective deterrent to police misconduct is the exclusionary rule. Today's decision, said Breyer, is doubly troubling. It represents a significant departure from the court's precedents, and it weakens, perhaps destroys, much of the practical value of the Constitution's knock-and-announce protection. Joining Breyer in dissent were Justices Stevens, Souter, and Ginsburg. Joining Scalia in the majority were Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas, Alito, and Kennedy. What may be at stake in the long run is the exclusionary rule itself, a rule first adopted by the Supreme Court a century ago and then applied to the states in 1961. Preventing all-out warfare today may have been the vote of Justice Kennedy, who wrote separately to say that, as far as he's concerned, the exclusionary rule, other than in this case, is not in doubt. But as Supreme Court advocate Tom Goldstein observes,
today's decision suggests that there are 4 votes. They're just one away from really radically revamping how we had understood the Fourth Amendment and to get rid of the exclusionary rule altogether.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.